Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Gimel. We are holding on the very top of daf Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and none of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha LaHashalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, Matzlacha, for our soldiers and our captives, and also by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, in honor of the upcoming marriage of their daughter Ariella to Eitan Sass later today. Mazel tov to the entire Newman and Sass families. We look forward to sharing in the Simcha. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. There are really just two topics on today's daf. There is Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, and there is Arev, right? If you had to break down the entire daf, Amud Aleph is about two Yosef ben Shimons and what we do about Shtaros in such a case, and Amud Beis is all about Arev. But the way it breaks down within those categories is that first we're going to have two ways to explain a machlokas between our Mishnah and a Braisa, whether Yosef ben Shimon could be Motzi Shtar against other people, meaning if you have two fellows in the same city named Yosef ben Shimon, can either of them be Motzi Shtar against somebody else? So that's a machlokas between our Mishnah and a Braisa. We're going to have two ways of explaining that machlokas. Then the Gemara is going to explain the Shita that the two Yosef ben Shimons can even be Motzi Shtar on each other, which is against our Mishnah, but there is such a Shita in a Braisa, and we're going to have to explain that Shita. And then the Gemara is going to discuss when you find a Shovar that Yosef ben Shimon had already paid, but you don't know which Yosef ben Shimon had already paid, or we don't know which Yosef ben Shimon had already paid. So the Mishnah discusses that case. The Gemara is going to make a diuk from the halacha in the Mishnah and discuss that. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the second last Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, says that if a guy says that one of his shtaros is already paid, but he doesn't say which, so what do we assume about that? And then the bottom Mishnah on Amud Aleph talks about when can a malva collect from an arev, and when do you need to go to the lova himself? And the Gemara is going to bring the source that there is a shibud on the arev even without a kinyan. So pretty much all of Amud Beis relates to arev. So let's begin again at the very top of Daf Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara asks that we have a stira between our Mishnah and a Braisa. The Ella, that which we were medayik from our Mishnah, that Yosef ben Shimon is able to be motzi shtar chov on other people, and we're not worried that it was that the shtar that he's holding was really written for the other Yosef ben Shimon, because we just said at the end of yesterday's shir that a nefila of a yachid is not something that's so common that we're not going to be choshesh that one Yosef ben Shimon dropped a shtar, lost it, and punked the other Yosef ben Shimon happened to have been the guy to have found it, and therefore we said in our Mishnah we're medayik from our Mishnah that if a guy named Yosef ben Shimon is a malva and he has a shtar that says that he is a malva and that he's owed money, we do not assume that the other Yosef ben Shimon is the real malva. So says Gemara, El Vela Hadatanya, what do we do with the following braisa? Kishem shein motzin shtar chov ze al ze. Just like one Yosef ben Shimon cannot be motzin shtar chov against the other Yosef ben Shimon, kachin motzin al acherim. That so too, Yosef ben Shimon cannot be motzin shtar chov on anybody else. Well, by my kamifli, what is the Nukuta Samachlokas between our Mishnah, which says that a Yosef ben Shimon can be Motzi Yishtar Chov and somebody else, and the Braisa, which says that a Yosef ben Shimon cannot be Motzi Yishtar Chov and somebody else. So answers the Gemara. They both hold, both the Mishnah and the Braisa hold that we're not choshesh, that one of the Yosef ben Shimons dropped the shtar and the other one is pumped the guy that had found the shtar. No, but Osios Niklos b'Mesira k'miflgi. They're arguing about whether you can transfer a chov just by giving the shtar, that by just handing over the shtar, the chov now transfers to the other person. So Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah Savar, Osios Niklos b'Mesira, that Osios can be transferred, that the chov can be transferred just by handing over the shtar. So Mele, even if you're going to be choshesh that the shtar was written for the other Yosef ben Shimon, and that he gave it to this Yosef ben Shimon, who's now carrying the shtar in order to collect the chov, that's not a problem, because if I'm Yosef ben Shimon and I want to do a favor to the other Yosef ben Shimon, I can give him this shtar and let the other Yosef ben Shimon go and collect the shtar and collect the chov. There's no problem with that. But Vitana Barah, but the Tana the Braisa holds, Savar Enos Yos Nicholas b'Mesira, that it doesn't work. You can't just transfer a chov by giving the shtar to another Yosef ben Shimon. So the other Yosef ben Shimon is not going to be able to collect with this shtar. He's not authorized to collect with this shtar. And that's why the Braisa says, Kach ein motzi in alacherin, that the Yosef ben Shimon cannot be motzi yishtar chov against somebody else. The Ibai Seima, or a second possibility of what exactly the Nukudas HaMachlokas is, du kule alma osios niknos b'mesira. Everybody holds, both the Tana of the Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa holds, that all you need to do to transfer a chov is give over the shtar to the other party. V'hacha b'tzarich lavi raya k'miflgi. But over here the Machlokas is, if you buy a shtar from someone else, do you need to bring a raya that you had purchased the shtar? Or is the fact that you're holding it raya enough that it actually belongs to you? So Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah Savar, ain't tzarich lavi raya. You don't need to bring a raya that you purchased the shtar. You're holding it. If you're holding the shtar, it's your shtar. V'tana b'ras savar, tzarich lavi raya. The Tana of the Braisa holds that you do need to bring a raya that you have purchased the shtar, and therefore neither of them is able to be moti yishtar against other people, because it could be that the shtar was written for the other Yosef ben Shimon. Aye, but that other Yosef ben Shimon gave it to this Yosef ben Shimon. Doesn't work. You need to bring a raya that you gave it to him, and that he's the rightful owner of that shtar. Without a raya, it's not going to work. The Rashba raises the question, why, if you don't bring a raya, can you not collect with it? L'chora, there should be no chshash, because if you gave him the shtar, he's been kona, because apparently we're assuming osios niknos b'mesira, that l'kuli alma osios niknos b'mesira, and we're not choshish for pikadon, because the person is not mafkid a shtar by another person who has the same name as it, right? Meaning if you wanted someone to watch your shtar for you, the last guy on earth you would give it to is someone who happens to have the same exact name as you, who's going to be able to collect from that shtar. And we don't have to be choshish for nefila, because we just said that we're not choshish for nefila diyachid, that another guy with the same name is going to find dafka that shtar. So what exactly is the concern the Rashba wants to know? So that's so the Rashba suggests that you have to say that in this teretz the Gemara assumes that this brisa assumes that even when Shmoseim Shavim were choshesh lepikadon, that we actually are choshesh that you would have given it to the other guy as a pikadon. And that's what Tosfos writes, that the machlokes between the Mishnah and the brisa is not shaykh to the machlokes and Abaye and Rava, because in Yevamos Kufta Zayin says that even Abaye is moda when it's Shmo Kishmo, we're not choshesh that it was a pikadon, and Abaye says we're not choshesh for Nefila either, but the Braisa must hold that we are Choshish for either Nefila or Pikadon, even when it's Shmo Kishmo. So anyway, so again, what do we say in our Gemara? We have a Machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Machlokas is, can Yosef, when there are two Yosef and Shimon's in the city, can one of them be Motzi Yishtar Chov against anybody in the city? So Machlokas is the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says yes, the Braisa says no. So we try to figure out what the Nekudas of Machlokas is. Two explanations. One is that they're arguing about whether Osios Nicholas B'Mesira or not, and the other explanation is that they're arguing about whether Moser Shtar Lechavero Tzarech Laviraya, that for sure Osios are yes Nicholas B'Mesira, but it's just a question whether Moser Shtar Lechavero Tzarech Laviraya or ain't Tzarech Laviraya. So says the Gemara, and that discussion of whether Tzarech Laviraya or ain't Tzarech Laviraya, that if I'm holding a Shtar and I'm saying that someone gave it to me, that I have to bring a Raya that it was given to me, is in fact a known Machlokas from previously. De Itmar, because we have a machlokas as follows. Osios niknos b'mesira, Abaye yomar tzarich laviraya, v'Rava amar eino tzarich laviraya. It's a machlokas. Abaye and Rava, that Abaye says that you need to bring a raya that you purchased this shtar from the original bailim, and Rava says you do not need to bring a raya that you purchased this shtar from the original bailim. You're holding it. That's all the raya that you're going to need. Now, l'chora, Rava's reason is very well understood, that since osios niknos b'mesira, the din of the shtar is like any other metaltalin. I mean, generally, that's the rule by metaltalin, that if you're holding on to metaltalin, it's yours, right? Possession is it. That's everything you need. So just like if you're maxim with metaltalin, you believe to say that it's yours and you don't need to bring a raya, adarab, anyone wants to take it from you, they're going to be the ones that have to bring a raya. So too, if you're maxim in a shtar, you should be neman. So what's Abaye svara over here? Why would Abaye think that tzarech lavi raya? Why is possession not enough of a raya? So the Rashba says that even though osios and niknos b'mesira, but we said that the mocher has to tell the lokeh lokech beferush. We said back in Dafayin Vav that the mocher needs to tell the lokech beferush kni lecha iu v'kol shibudu de ispe, that you should be kona the shtar and all shibudim that are associated with the shtar. And if you don't say that, he is kona a piece of paper, but he's not kona any of the contents of that piece of paper. So yeah, enochinami, possession is everything. Yeah, but what does he have possession of? He has possession of a physical piece of paper. How does he become the owner of the actual chov? So that you need to bring a raya that he told you knilcha and kol shibud dispay, that he told you to be kona all the shibudim that are in the shtar. So that's the svara for Abaye. But this is machlokas Abaye and Rava. So now we're going to explain the basis of each shita. So I'm Rabbi Mina. How do I know my din, my shita, that sarich lavi raya ditanya? Because we have a brisa that two brothers yarshin their father, and echad min ha'achin shtarchov yotze mitachas yado. One of the brothers has a shtarchov that had their father's name in it. The father was the malveh, but one of the brothers has possession of this shtarchov. And he says, yeah, after dad died, my brothers were kind enough to give me this shtarchov, or I bought them out of this shtarchov, and therefore it's mine, and I'm the one that sold the money. And the other brothers say, whoa, wait a second. No, this was money owed to our father, and therefore it's a Yerusha that we're going to split evenly. So you don't even a Bechor wouldn't get Pishnayim, because it's Roy, it's not Muksa. Right, so we're going to split this evenly. So love Lahavi Raya. So the one who's holding the shtarchov has to bring a Raya that they had in fact given it to him. So my love, who adin lachrini? So if that's going to be true of brothers, isn't that true about other people as well? That if one guy is holding a shtar chov that has someone else's name on it, he has to bring a raya that it was in fact given to him. The fact that he has possession of it is not enough. It's not enough of a raya. V'rava Amar Rav would say, nah, that's not a raya to habayishita. Shaniachin deshamtu me'adadi. No, brothers are different because it's so easy for one of them to gain possession of the shtar. Meaning it's in dad's house. So one of them happened to have been sleeping in the bedroom where dad kept his filing cabinet, and he grabbed that one. So it's like so too easy for brothers to have access to something like that. But stam, that I'm going to have a shtar that has somebody else's name on it? How would I get a shtar that has somebody else's name on it unless he had given it to me? So that you don't have to bring a raya that it was given to you. Ika da amri, the Gemara brings a different lashon, that Rav is the one that actually brought the raya from the braisa. So ika da amri, ama Rav amina aminallah, that Rav says, what's the basis of my opinion that you don't need to bring a raya? Did Tanya, and he quotes that same braisa, echad menachin shar shachov yosem mitachas yado alav lavi raya, that if one of the brothers has the shtarchov that has the father's name on it, he's the one that's got to bring a raya. Sa achnu deshamta me'adadi, and he makes the diuk right there on the spot that it's only when it's achim that Hashemtu me'adadi, where it's so easy for one to slip in and grab the shtar. But the implication is that that's only by achim. But if it were other people, then that have a shtar that has somebody else's name on it, there's no need to bring a raya. The fact that you have it is all that you need. Va'abaye, and how's Abaye going to respond to that diuk? Abaye will say, no, don't make a diuk that it's dafka achim and not acherim. Achin it's Srichle, it's a chiddush by brothers, that Salkatai Techamina, that I might have had a Hava Amina, that over there the din should be different because Kivin Deshamtu Me'adadi, since they're able to easily grab it from one another, Emer Mizdar Zihiri, maybe we should say that they're very careful to guard their shtaros, more so than regular people, Velo Tzrichil Aviraya, and therefore the one who's Muksak doesn't need to bring a Raya, because there's no way the brothers ever would have let him get access to it. Meaning before they go to dad's house for the Shabbos of Shiva, where mom is sitting Shiva, and they go to the house, the brothers make sure they lock up all the filing cabinets, they put away the keys, and because they know that it's so easy for any of the brothers to go into and take everything. So since they're aware that it's so easy, so I would think that in such a case, that's where you don't need to bring a raya, because how would you have gained access to it if not for the fact that they had given it to you? So Kamash Malan therefore tells us that no, brothers are just like everybody else, that there is no chiluk between brothers and other people. So Rav is the one that said that there's a chiluk between brothers and other people, that when it comes to brothers, possession is not a raya. When it comes to other people, possession is a raya. And Abaye says, no, by both cases, possession is not a raya. So that is the explanation of the two shitos within the second explanation. explanation of what the machlokas is between our brisa and our mishnah. So now the Gemara brings another brisa that disagrees with our mishnah and disagrees with this brisa and tells us about two Yosef and Shimon's. Velahad Tanya, what do we do with the following brisa? Kishem Shemotziin Hein Shtarchov Al Acherim Kach Motziin Ze Al Ze. That there is a brisa that says that even the Yosef and Shimon's can even be motzi shtarchov on one another, that they can even be motzi shtarchov one against the other. That's beferish against our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah had that case, and our Mishnah said that they may not be motzi shtarchov ze al ze. So what is the nekudas ha-machlokas between our Mishnah that says that they cannot be motzi shtarchov on each other, and the brisa that says that yes, they can be motzi shtarchov on each other? So explains the Gemara, because in shtar lelov v'af bishen mal imo kamiflegi. What they're arguing about is whether it's mutter for Edom to write and sign a shtar chov for a lova when the malva is not there. Meaning a lova is the one that loses from the shtar chov because it says that he owes money. So I would think, okay, so write a shtar chov. He wants to be able to borrow money quickly. So he wants to have a shtar in hand. He has a target guy that he wants to ask for a loan. So he has a shtar in hand that says that this guy loaned him $10,000. So he's going to go. He said, can I borrow $10,000? And the person is going to kind of start saying, I don't have time to hire a lawyer to write a shtar. Don't worry, already done. I got it right here. So can we do that? Can we have him prepared and write a shtar for the lova when the malva is not there? So Tana Didan Sabra, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, you can write a shtar for the lova even without the malva, and therefore one Yosef ben Shimon cannot be motzi shtar chov on the other Yosef ben Shimon. Why? Zimnin da'azel gabi safra v'sahadi v'armelu kisvili started to be in the maze of Yosef ben Shimon chaverai. Because what's going to happen? Yosef ben Shimon A is going to go to Sofer and he's going to say, listen, I want to borrow money from Yosef ben Shimon B. So can you write a shtar that says that I owe money to this other fellow, right? And what's it going to say? That Yosef ben Shimon owes money to Yosef ben Shimon. So they give him a shtar that says Yosef ben Shimon owes money to Yosef ben Shimon. And then he's going to take it out and say, you owe money to me, right? Because instead of the sofer that was writing it from the edim that were signing it, I thought it was going to say that Yosef ben Shimon A owes the money to Yosef ben Shimon B, but it doesn't say A and B in the shtar, it just says Yosef ben Shimon. So he's going to pull it out and he's going to say, Bosu dekasim v'chasmilei, once they write it and they sign it, nekitalei, he'll hold the shtar and he'll be tovea, Yosef ben Shimon B. V'amalei, he'll say, havli ma'ad yazavtaminei, give me the money that you borrowed from me. So if you write a shtar for lova, then you cannot allow a Yosef ben Shimon to be motzi shtar chov on another Yosef ben Shimon. But Tana Barasavar, the Tana of the Brisa holds, ain't goes a shtar lova atchei malvi imo, that you cannot write a shtar for the lova until the malva is with him. So mainly, there's no chashash for this because Yosef ben Shimon, one Yosef ben Shimon is not going to be able to write a shtar chov without the other Yosef ben Shimon present. So there's no concern of misidentifying who's the malva and who's the lova. Good. So now, nimtza le'echad bein shtaros of shtarosh le'yosef ben Shimon perua, shtarosh le'em perua. We said in our Mishnah that if someone finds a shtar among his shtaros that says that Yosef ben Shimon's debt to me has already been paid back, and the assumption is that both Yosef ben Shimon's had owed me money, and I have a documentation that Yosef ben Shimon paid me back, so the halacha is, I have to assume both Yosef and Shimon's already paid me back. Neither of them owes me any money. So ask the Gemara, Taima Dinimtza. Sounds like the only reason that they're both pater from paying their chov is because you found a shover that says that Yosef and Shimon paid you back. Hello, Nimtza. But if you didn't find such a shover amongst your shtaros, Mati Mapik, then the malv is able to be to come with a taina, with a shtar chov, to be toveya then. Ay, va'anan, va'ha'anan, v'lo achar yachalot, but didn't the Mishnah say that if there are two Yosef and Shimon's in the city, you can't be motzi shtar chov against either one of them, because either one will just point to the other guy and say, it's him, you owe the money to him, he's the one that owes you the money, rather, I'm not the guy that owes you the money. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Mishulashin. No, the din in the Mishnah is only because the din in the Mishnah where we said that if it's nimtza, shover, you're not able to be toveya, but otherwise you are able to be toveya, that's where the shtar Sharchov that you have against them goes through a third generation, and it identifies which Yosef ben Shimon. It says Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, so you know that it's not Yosef ben Shimon ben Naphtali. You know that it's a different, you know exactly which Yosef ben Shimon it is. So that's why you would be able to collect the chov from him had you not found a shover that says that Yosef ben Shimon already paid you up. So says Gemara, but if you already did three generations, just look whose name is in the shofar, meaning the shofar must have also said Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov paid you up, or Yosef ben Shimon ben Naphtali paid you up, and then you'll know. So well, why does the Mishnah assume? Well, you find a shofar, it says Yosef ben Shimon paid you up, now you have no idea who actually paid you. So Amrav Hoshaya ben Mushalashim Shtar ben Mushalashim Shofar. Now the case in the Mishnah is that the original Shtar Chov identified which Yosef ben Shimon was which, right? It said that this Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov owes you $1,000, Yosef ben Shimon ben Naphtali owes you $1,000, whatever it is, and now you find the shofar that says Yosef ben Shimon paid you up, but it didn't go to the third generation. Abayi says the Mishnah is not talking about two Yosef ben Shimon that borrowed from the same person, because then the Malva would not be able to collect from them even without a shofar. But Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah is saying, that if the Shnei Yosef ben Shimon's loaned money to the same person, meaning the Mishnah holds that they're both able to be motzi shtaros al acherim, so nimtza lelove, if the borrower who borrowed money from two guys named Yosef ben Shimon finds bein shtarosav, among his own shtaros, that shtaros of Yosef ben Shimon alai parua, that I already paid back Yosef ben Shimon, neither Yosef ben Shimon can claim the money from him. So we're not talking about a malveh who finds that Yosef ben Shimon had already paid him back. It's a loveh who finds a shofar that says that he already paid back Yosef ben Shimon. So then neither Yosef ben Shimon is going to be able to collect from him, because I'm asking Michaver Alavaraya, prove to me that that you're not the Yosef ben Shimon who I already paid back. The Rashbam points out, but there is a way for them to collect. What they could do is they could write a harsha'a to one another, right? If one Yosef ben Shimon writes a harsha'a to the other Yosef ben Shimon, so that you could be tovei miman of shach. That if the shofar was written on the other guy, so your moda that that my chov is not parua, and therefore pay me. And if the shofar was written for me, so your moda that the other guy's star is not parua, so pay him. However, the Rashbam writes that the lova kataina, that he paid both of them back, and that's why he wrote the shofar belashon stuma. That's why he wrote the shofar in without a shilush, without saying the third generation, without a simon that he's tall, he's short, you know which Yosef and Shimon it was, in order that it would be a hochacha that he'll be able to have for either Yosef and Shimon, and if any of them come to claim money from him, he'll be able to pull out this shofar, and then the harsha is not going to work. So first Rashbam says that yes, they could make a harsha between them, and then they'll be able to collect. And he says, but if he's smart, he can say, well, there's a reason I wrote this stam. I wrote it in such a vague way where it could be referring to either one of you, because I actually paid both of you back. The Rashba writes that it's mistabra, that if the lova tainos that he paid both of them back, and that's why he wrote the shofar stam, the harsha is not going to work, because harsha, anytime that a harsha does work, the Gemara normally says so, right? It's not a step that the Gemara typically skips about a harsha working. And over here, the Gemara does not say that a harsha works. So it must be that since if the lova tainas that he paid both of them, it must be, therefore, that if lova tainas that he paid both of them, he's going to be believed. However, the Ritva disagrees with this Rashbam and with this Rashba. So again, both the Rashbam and the Rashba say, technically, you could write a harsha, but if he's smart, if the lova is smart, he could say, I wrote it stam, so because I already paid both of you back, and we would believe him, right? However, the Ritva disagrees, and the Ritva writes that the lova's taina is not mistaver at all. Who does that, right? You owe two separate people money, and you got it, and you paid them both back, and you only got one shover for it. You only got one receipt for it. That is ridiculous. So he says, what about the raya of the Rashba? That anytime you could do a harsha'a, the Gemara always says about it, always lets you know about it. He says, adraba, it's so pashut that it would work to write Arshta to collect this chov. It's not necessary for the Gemara to say it. Most times when the Gemara talks about writing Arsha, it's a chiddush. Over here, they both have the same name. So obviously they can write Arsha. And there's only one shover. There's only proof of payment of one of the debts. Obviously, they're allowed to write Arsha. You don't need the Gemara to be Mechadesh, Grace of Chiddush, that you're allowed to write the Arsha. Okay, so Ketzed Yasu, Yishaleshu. What do you do if you have two Yosef and Shimon and you want to be able to identify them? You go back a third generation, or you identify a Simon, the tall Yosef and Shimon, the short Yosef and Shimon, the fat, well, fat, skinny, and now with Ozempic, they're all going to be skinny in a few months. So the so you go with whatever, you go with different identifying features of Yosef and Shimon. So or Kohen, non-Kohen. So Tana Imayushneim Kohanim Yichtivu Doros. The Braisa taught that if both of them are Kohanim, then you write additional Doros. I mean, you already tried the grandfather's generation, and grandfather's generation have the same name also. And that you have to realize, in times of Chazal, people didn't have double names, right? Or certainly not triple names. They only had single names. So you know, how many names were in use? They also didn't have all these newfangled Israeli names, right? So how many names were in use? Had like whatever, a dozen biblical names. So it wasn't so crazy that you have Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov and another Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. Nowadays, there would be a second name, there would be something else to identify probably. But you went back three generations, they have the same name, and they're both Kohanim, right? So could be their cousins, right? That happens a lot also. We have cousins of the same. So then you go back another generation. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses a different case. Ha'omer l'bno, a guy tells his son when he's about to die, shtar bein shtarosi perua. There's one shtar chov among my shtaros that is already paid up. When he paid me, he believed me that I'm not going to be toveya him a second time. So I didn't even write him any evidence to it. We didn't tear up the shtar. That when the guy paid me back, he knew that I was good for it, so he trusted me. So the shtar is still there. Just make sure you don't use it, because a shtar perua, that's why the Gemara says it's an avla to keep a shtar perua betoch beso, because you might forget, or the children might forget, and might not know, and they'll go collect with a shtar perua, which is terrible. So you're not supposed to keep a shtar perua. But this guy had a shtar perua that was in his house. Venu de ezuhu. The thing is, they don't know which shtar it was. And he says, I don't want to be punished bidei shemayim by collecting with this shtar a second time. So do me a favor, make sure you don't collect with the shtar. So shtar is cool and pruin. The halacha is, we have to assume all shtaros are paid up. A son is not allowed to collect with any of them, because every single lova can claim, I'm the one that already paid it up, and we will not be able to prove one way or the other. Nimtza le'echad sham shnayim ha'gadol perua v'akatanein perua. Let's say you have one lova that had borrowed twice from this guy. He had borrowed $1,000 and he had borrowed $10,000. And dad only said before he died that a shtar is perua. He didn't say which shtar is perua. So we have to assume that the gadol is perua, that the $10,000 one is perua, but he could still collect the $1,000 shtar chov. So Amar Rava. So Rava says a person who's lends money to his friend with different shtaros, and the Malva says to the Lova, shtar lucha biyadi perua. He didn't say which of the shtaros was perua, hagadol perua. We assume whichever was the largest one is perua, vakatanena perua, and the smallest one is not perua. But if he says it differently, chov lucha biyadi perua, the chov that I have against you is perua, shtaros kulan peruin, then they're all perua, and you can't collect with any of them, because lashon of chov just sounds like a general indebtedness, right? The general chiyuv that you have to pay me money. It may come in piecemeal, it may come like it's $10 in this shtar and $100 in that shtar, but chov is a more general term that includes all of the chovos that he has. So Amalei Ravina L'Rava, Ravina asks Rava, Elameata, according to you, that there's a chiluk between a lashon of hoda'a, if he says it, that there's a chiluk between the lashon of hoda'a of shtar l'cha biyadi versus chov l'cha biyadi. So the same should be true when it comes to mekach u'memkar, that if a person writes in a shtar, sadi mechura l'cha, sada gedola mechura lo, that my field is hereby sold to you, and he's got a shtar that says your field is sold to me. The only thing is, you own 50 fields, so which field is it, right? Meaning you own a lot of real estate, so you tell me, you know, the Trump property is sold to you. So is it Trump Tower, Trump this, Trump that, right? So which one? So then the halacha is sada gedola mechura lo. You have to assume assume whatever is the most valuable, say, estate or field. Sadashi Yeshli Mukhurullah, but if he says Sadashi Yeshli Mukhurullah, Kol Sadosa Mukhurullah, then the halacha should be that all the sadas, because the lashon of sada could be a reference to many, many sados. How do we know that? Yesterday's parsha. V'yishach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Aleisav Achiv Arza Seir Sidei Edom. So the lashon of Sidei Edom is not talking about one field. It's sados rabim. It's many, many fields. That's what the Rosh Bam quotes over here. So that's what. So the word sada, you see, could refer to many, many fields. So it says Gemara, Hasam Yad Balashtar Ala Tachtona. By someone who writes Sade Mechurulach, he's not zoch in the larger field, he's only zoch in the smaller field. And if he says Sade Sheishli Mechurulach, he's not zoch in all the fields, he's only zoch in one field, because Yad Balashtar Al Tachtona. By any issue that comes up between two people, and one of them wants to be Motzi Mechavero, utilizing a shtar, and the shtar could mean one of two things. It could mean something that would pater the Nitva, so the Yad HaToveya, Mikoach HaShtar, is always the lower hand. The one who has the shtar, who wants to claim, always has the lower hand. He cannot be motzi more than the minimal amount of what it might mean using that shtar. Because I'm motzi mechavero, love haraya. So since sadi mechurulach could mean the smallest field, and sada could mean one field, it doesn't have to mean every field. So all you get is one field, and all you get is the smallest field. So the din of Rava by Echov is for the same reason. It's because yad balashtar atachtona, meaning what Ravina was challenging Rava is that we should make a parallel between the case of a chov and the case of a sale. And Rava's answer is, yes, we do. We make a parallel. But you're thinking of the parallel incorrectly. The way to make the parallel is between the balashtar in one case and the balashtar in the other case. So by a chov as well, the yad balashtar is ala tachtona. And since the malva wants money from the lova ketaina, that is chov was perua. Because the lashon of the malva was shtar lecha biyadi perua, or chov lecha biyadi perua. And even though it could be the smallest shtar, or the chov could be only one of the chovos, one of the shtaros, but I'm motzi mechavero lav haraya. So the yada malva is ala tachtona. You want to get more money out of this guy? No, you can only collect that which he definitely owes you. You cannot collect anything more than that which he definitely owes you. So it's both working with the same basic principle of a motzi mechavero lav haraya. Period. Now we move on to the second primary discussion of daf, which is the discussion of arev. Hamalva is chaver al yedei arev. A person owes someone money, so he says, if I can't pay you back, I have a co-signer that's going to be willing to pay for me. Lo yiparim min arev. The malva cannot go collect from the arev. The Gemara is going to explain, what do you mean? What's the point of the arev if you can't go collect from the arev? Vim amar lo, but if the malva says that the arvus is al manas she eparam imisha erza, yiparim min arev. That it's al manas. I'm lending you money, al manas, that I can collect from either you or the arev, that I can collect from whichever one of you I want to, then he could collect from the arev. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, im yesh nechasim lelove, bein kach lo yiparim min arev. If the love has nechasim, you can't choose to go to the co-signer, you got to go to the arev, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says. V'cheinu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, ha'arev li'isha b'ksubasa. If a guy becomes an arev for a woman, that if the husband doesn't pay the ksuba, that he will pay it, v'yabala megarsha, and the husband is divorcing her and he doesn't have nechasim to pay the ksuba, and you know that the arev is going to have to pay the ksuba, yadirena hana'a. We make the baal be noder hana'a from this woman, from his wife, that he'll never get hana'a from her and he's never going to remarry her. Why? Because we're afraid, that this husband is penniless, he doesn't have any money, but he knows that he has a ksuba that has an arev on it, and the ksuba says that he owes his wife $100,000. If they get divorced, he doesn't have $100,000, so it's not going to come from him. So he'll divorce his wife, she'll go to the arev, collect $100,000, then he'll go and remarry his wife, and now they have $100,000 to start a new business together. Well, they'll be able to. So in order to avoid that, before he divorces her, he has to take a neder hana'a that he's never going to get hana'a from this woman. He's never going to remarry her. He's not going to take advantage of this arev in that way. There is a question whether there is a mitzvah of being an arev on a loan. The Rambam and Sefer Mitzvah say Kuf Tzad Design writes shetzivanu lahalvos la'ani laharchav lo lahakol inyano, that there's a mitzvah even bigger than the mitzvah of tzedakah, to lend money to somebody who needs to get back on his feet with an interest-free loan. So the question is that only when you are the lender, when you are the malveh, or is there a mitzvah to facilitate a loan? Because that also helps a person get on their feet. So in the Sefer Mishpat Ha'arev, he discusses... Well, actually, before that, it's a double pashut that anyone who helps someone to be mekabela halva'a is being mekayim a mitzvah of chesed. Right? The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Hakdama to Avas Chesed that the chiyuv of arvos is included in the pasuk of halachta bedrachav, that you have to do all sorts of chesed with other people in order to be mistabek in the darkei Hashem. Hashem does all kinds of chesed, so we also should do all kinds of chesed. The question is the inyan of arvos a mitzvah of halva'a? So it could be that it's totally in a machlokas between the Nesivos and the Tumim. That the Nesivos writes that a person who's mashal chavero, an object, so that he could use it as a mashkon, it's not considered to be a mitzvah salva'a, meaning you need to borrow money from somebody. The only thing is, the person who's going to lend you the money will not lend you the money without a collateral. So, but you don't have anything to give as a collateral. So I take off my Rolex. I don't have a Rolex, but I take off my Rolex, and I once made a joke. I said, oh, gift idea. I don't have a Rolex. My wife said to me, you mentioned a good gift idea recently. I'm like, no. That was a joke. So I take off my Rolex and I give it to this person. Here, you could use this as your collateral. Was I yotze the mitzvah of halva'a? Right? Is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah? I didn't lend him the money. I just gave him something to collateralize so that he can get the loan. So the Nesivos writes that that's not halva'a. The Tumim says it is halva'a. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? So Nekudas HaMachlokas is if you facilitate a loan, even though you're not the lender, does that count as a mitzvah? So maybe that of the mitzvah of halva'a, it's definitely a mitzvah. Does it count as a mitzvah of halva'a? So maybe that's exactly the issue. When it comes to an arev, is being an arev a mitzvah of halva'a? May depend on that very issue. Okay, so the Mishnah said that if you're malva al yedei arev, do not get paid from the arev. So the Gemara understands that the Mishnah means that the lov is here and he doesn't have any nechasim, you still cannot collect from the arev. So my taima, why not? Meaning the lov is here, he doesn't have any money. That's what he added the arev for. So Rabbi Rav Yosef Dar Tavayu garva ashlimtli garva ashlimilach, that they say what the Mishnah means is that the Orev tainus to the Malva that my Arvus was not to pay the Chov in every situation. It was that this person was my Chiyuv was only on the Lova himself, that if he dies or he runs away somewhere else and you can't find him, so then I'll pay the Chov. But Kolzman, that he's alive and he's here, I don't have to pay in his place. He's here for his place. So even if he doesn't have any Nechas, him, that wasn't my agreement. My agreement of being an Arev was to be there if he's gone. So Maskar of Nachman, Hai Dina de Parsai, that's crazy. That's a din of the Parsiim, meaning the Parsiim in their secular courts, they paskin such things that an Arev doesn't have to pay as long as the Lova is alive. Why should the Lova being alive matter? He's alive, but he doesn't have a penny to his name. It doesn't help the Malva at all. So the Gemara says, Adraba, what do you mean? The Parsiim are more Machmir. On the Arev. Basar Arva Azli. The Parsiim say you're allowed to go after the Arev even when the Lova has money. What do you mean this is a Dina de Parsiim? So Ella Be Dina de Parsai de Loyavi Taimil Milsayu. No, what I mean to say is that you're coming up with laws the way that secular governments come up with their laws, which is just whatever they feel like saying. So you're saying something that doesn't have any Svara. I mean, here you have an Arev, and the you're not going to be able to collect from the Arev because the Lova's alive, because the Lova happens to be here. That's why you're not able to collect from the Arev. Ella Amram Nachman, my lo yiparim in ha'arev, lo yitpa arev tchila. What does it mean, lo yiparim in ha'arev? It means that you can't go to the arev first before you toveya the lova himself. You first have to be toveya the lova, and only if he refuses to pay, or he dies, or bezin is mechayiv him to pay, and he doesn't have any money, then the malva could be toveya the arev to pay the chov. Tani namiyachi, that makes a lot of sense. We have a brisa that says just like that. Ha malva is chaver al yidei arev. Someone lends money to somebody else through the use of of an arev, lo yitba arev tchila. Don't go to the arev first. But if you make a condition that I'm able to collect from whichever I want, from the lova or the arev, then you can go to the arev first. Amar Rav Huna, minayin la'arev de mishtabed. How do I know this din, that an arev is mishtabed himself, even without a kinyan? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says in the coming up Parshios, not this coming week, but soon, that Yehuda says to Yaakov Avinu, when he wants to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, when he wants to bring Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, Anochi arvenu miyadi tivakshenu, that if I don't bring Binyamin back, I'm the arev. But there was no kinyan on that arva, so you see, it could be an arev even without a kinyan. So Maskav Rav Chista, HaKablanasi. No, that's an Arif Kablan. An Arif Kablan does not require a Kenyan. So that's a totally different situation. So how do I know Yehuda was an Arif Kablan? Because the Pasuk says that Tana Uso Al Yadi Va'ani Ashivenu, that when Reuven said to his father, Shnei Banai Tamisim Lo Avienu Elecha, that my two sons should die if I don't bring back Binyamin to you. Tana Uso Al Yadi Va'ani Ashivenu. So Tana Uso Al Yadi sounds like he says Kibaltiv and Vachzirenu Elecha. So that's an Arif Kablan, that doesn't require a Kinyan. Elo Am Rabbi Yitzchak Mehachas. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, now how do I know the din of an Arif? Because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Lekach Bigdo Ki Arif Zar Ubad Nachriya Chavlehu, that the Pasuk says that the Malv could take the beggar of the Arif Ki Arif, because of the Namira alone, that he's an Arif, even without a Kinyan. V'omer, and there's another Pasuk, B'niya Maravta L'Recha Takata L'Zor Kapecha Nokashta B'imrei Picha Nilkanta B'imrei Picha, that if you become an Arif for somebody else, or you were nichshal in your lashon and you caused someone distress, and the pasuk is the eitzah for both situations is asei zos efo b'ni v'hinotzel ki vasa b'kaf re'echa leich hisrapes u'rahav re'echa. The eitzah is imamun yesh lo biyadecha, if you became an arev, so leich hisrapes, that means hater lo pisas yad, open up your hand and give him his money. And the end of the pasuk is that if you were a mitzar somebody else, v'im lav harbe alav reyim, if you didn't become an arev, you just caused a person tsar with words alone, so then it's a rahav reyachu, which means harbe alav reyim, that try to get other people to intercede to ask mechila. Amar amimar arev de mishtabit machlok shabit of Rabbi Yossi, an arev that's mishtabit to the malve is tali in machlok shabit of Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi damar asmach takanya arev mishtabit. According to Rabbi Yossi, that holds asmach takanya, an arev has a full shibud, because we assume that even though he didn't think it would come to this, he's fully accepting responsibility. Rabbi Yudah Damar Smachta Lo Kanya, Ariv Lo Mishtabid. Rabbi Yudah Olza Smachta Lo Kanya, and Ariv does not have that same sense of Shibur. Amli Rav Ashi La Meimar, HaMaisim B'chol Yom Da Smachta Lo Kanya, V'Ariv Mishtabid, but we pass on a Smachta's Lo Kanya, and Ariv is still Mishtabid. Elam Rav Ashi, Bahu Anah, Dukame Hemenle, Gomru Mishtabid Navshe, that it's not a din of a Smachta, that an Ariv is willing to take upon himself the responsibility of Arvus and the full Shibud, because he gets Hanah from it, that he gets a reputation as a trustworthy person, the kind of person that you would want co-signing your documents. And that's generally something that's very good for him in business. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots toward the bottom of the page. Have a great day, everybody.